This reading is from Psalm 119, verses 97 to 105. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. This is the word of the Lord.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. My name is Smriti, and I'm a member of Holy Trinity Church here in Richmond. And it's a great privilege to speak to you on this today, Bible Sunday. As some of you may know, I'm a children's author, and I'm looking forward to sharing my new story with you in a few minutes. So I hope you're all sitting comfortably. But before that, as it's Bible Sunday, it seems only fitting. Thanks, Nikku. It seems only fitting that we should have a Bible quiz. Let's go back one. There we go. Right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up some picture clues, okay? And they are to help you identify a character from the Bible, okay? So I hope you're going to get these. So will you help me out here? What is the first picture? What can you see? Yes. An apple. Well done. And does it make us think of anyone, a particular character in the Bible? Yes. Eve. Absolutely, Eve. In fact, here's a picture of Adam and Eve being banished from the Garden of Eden. Okay, next one. What is that? Can anyone work out what that is? Yes.
David's slingshot.
Both answers in one go. It's David's slingshot, exactly. And when did he use that?
When the war with Goliath.
That's right. He used it to fight Goliath. Okay, next one. What's that? It's quite bright, isn't it? Does anyone know what that is? Joseph's dream coat, that's right. So the character we're looking for is, Joseph. Next picture. Oh, there we are. And there's a picture of him. He's been slung into a pit by his brothers who are envious of him. And the last one I've got is a bit cryptic, but I'm told that anyone who goes to climbers will be able to identify from this clue who the character in the Bible is. So what are we looking at here? What are we looking at? Yes. Oh my gosh, it's actually true. Jacob's sheep. This is a picture of some sheep, and that leads us to the figure in the Bible, Jacob. And here is a picture of him with the angel. Now, my final question in this quiz is to ask you what all of these characters have in common. What is it about their story that they share? And I can open that up not just to the children, but to those sitting on the chairs as well. Can anyone tell me what you think these stories, Adam and Eve leaving the Garden of Eden, David and Goliath, Joseph and his brothers, and Jacob wrestling an angel? Yes, Matthew. They're all about heroes of the Bible. They absolutely are. And what's happening in these stories at that time? Who? I can't see. Oh, sorry. Yes. They're all being punished. Some of them are being punished, but they're all in quite tricky situations, aren't they? They're all quarreling or fighting or disagreeing. They're all in quite divisive situations, whether it's sibling rivalry or whether it's between people and God. And in fact, I don't know if you can still hear me, but in fact, the whole Bible is full of discord and division. In fact, someone said to me recently that if we look at all of the discord and conflict, if we took it out of the Bible, then this big fat book would be very slim. I'm sorry, I'm making a real mess of my mic here. I think it's better now. I think it's better. But guess what? Things aren't very different today. When we look around at our world, it is still full of conflict. Conflict of opinion, discord, and disagreements. And I think here in Britain, we feel that so keenly right now, with one issue polarizing our nation so dramatically within communities, friends, even families. What worries me even more are the wider social issues which are being stoked up. Fear of the foreigner, the migrant, the refugee, the other in our society. And so the story I'm going to read for you, which I've left by my seat, is inspired by and speaks into that division and discord. And I'm going to ask my friend Sue to come up and help me read it. Now, Sue and I are going to read this, but I'm going to need a little bit of help from all of you. As you'll have noticed when you came in, you were all given an animal to wear. I hope you're all wearing your stickers proudly. And if you didn't get one, you can be any animal you choose. This story is set on a farm. So can I just check? Have we got any pigs in the house today? Yes? Okay, can I hear you do some oinking, please, pigs? A bit louder. I can't hear that. Very good, very good. Okay, how about some sheep? Can I hear some baaing? Very good. Can I hear some mooing from the cows, please? Very good. Have we got any donkeys in the house? What about the horses? Oh, the horses, they've got some might behind them. And what about the roosters? Are there any roosters? Brilliant. Okay, I think we're ready to begin. And I'm going to bring up pictures from the story on the screen here. The story is called The Little Island, and the words are by me, Smriti, and the pictures are by Robert Starling. There was once a farm where all the animals were friends. They worked hard, and each was at liberty to live and work where they chose. Together, they looked after the farm and each other. It wasn't perfect, and they didn't always agree. Animals almost never do. But they liked it. The ducks and geese lived on a pond at the edge of the farm. Come on, ducks and geese. Whoops. We'll stay there. They waddled about on a little island of soft, sunny slopes, lush green reeds, and golden fruit trees. One day, the geese began to gossip. Soon, they were in a flap.
Why do all the other animals come to our part of the farm so often?
Honked one.
There really isn't any room for everyone here.
Honked another.
No one listens to us. We aren't safe,
they groused and grumbled late into the night. The next night, the geese called a meeting.
Our island was once a green and pleasant land,
they declared to the ducks.
The apples were much redder, the grass was much greener, the sun was much warmer. And the food tasted better. Now, it's too busy. We should leave the rest of the farm and live on our own, just as we please.
The ducks thought this was a dreadful idea. They loved living and working together with the other animals. But there were more geese, ever so slightly, than ducks. And so the geese peck, peck, pecked away until there was no longer a footbridge to the island. The animals on the rest of the farm looked on sadly, then they shook their heads and went, bid farewell to their dear old friends and went back to work. At first, nothing much changed. The sun shone, the bees buzzed, and life was good. But very soon, the ducks and geese found they had to work harder, much harder. There were so many jobs to do now. Mending, fixing, building, cleaning, chopping, cooking. The geese had not noticed how helpful the other animals had been. Animals hardly ever do. Summer came, and the grass grew tall and green, just as the geese remembered. But without the sheep and the cows grazing, it soon scorched and withered in the sun.
"We mustn't complain,"
grumbled the geese, tails drooping.
"At least we're happy."
Autumn came and the fruit trees were full. But without the help of the horses and goats to gather the harvest, the geese went hungry.
"We mustn't complain,"
grumbled the geese, tummies rumbling.
"At least we're happy."
Winter came and the animals on the farm huddled together cozily to keep warm. But without their old friends, the geese were cold.
"We mustn't complain,"
grumbled the geese, beaks chattering.
"At least we're happy, happy."
The next year was hard. The following year was harder. And the year after that, the foxes came. The foxes looked slyly at the little island. No roosters to raise the alarm, no pigs to make trouble, no cows to chase them away. Dinner time! It was perfect, the foxes agreed, which animals almost never do. They liked it. At dead of night, silently, speedily, they surveyed the island. Silently, stealthily, they slunk into the water. Silently, swiftly, they swam across the pond. Silently, sneakily, they stole onto land. Silently, soundlessly. Yes, you get the picture. Feet flapped and feathers flew.
"Help! Help!"
shrieked the geese and ducks in terror.
"Save us!"
The animals on the rest of the farm rushed to the water's edge. But alas, there was no footbridge to reach the island. And so the farm animals did something that animals almost never do. And this is where I need you. I need you, pigs, horses, sheep, cows, and all the rest of you, to make as much noise as you possibly can. Make your noise right now. Louder. Louder! They bellowed and yelled all night long until the foxes, who as we know prefer to work in silence, slid softly away into the night. In the morning, the ducks and the geese wanted to thank their old friends. They remembered how once they had all lived and worked together. It hadn't been perfect, and they hadn't always agreed. Animals almost never do. But they had liked it. Their green and pleasant island was in ruins. The barn was broken, and the crops were trampled. There was so much to do, and they did not know where to start. And then they had an idea. Carefully, They collected long pieces of wood and nails and screws, and then slowly, very slowly, they began to build a bridge all the way back to the farm. The end. Please give yourselves a very big round of applause, and to Sue and to William for being excellent geese and ducks, foxes. So I wrote this story as a response to the national and international situation of recent years. I wanted to speak peacefully and powerfully into that turbulence. I wanted to create something hopeful and meaningful out of the chaos and write a story about tolerance, compassion, and solidarity. A story of bridges, not barriers. Of respect, not resentment. Of friendship, not fear. Most of all, I wanted to write a story of hope. Because personally, I've been really troubled by these divisions. I've started to hear words being used that I haven't heard since my own childhood. Words that we have long considered to be totally unacceptable in this country. We're seeing a huge rise in race crime, in hate speak, both on a national and international scale. And it has been troubling to hear aggressive slogans and toxic language used in the highest offices in the land. Words that feel destructive and cruel. Words that expose and create fear and anger. Language has such power, and when words are used as weapons, they cause immeasurable damage. We've heard hurtful insults intended to belittle others and take away their humanity. When I was growing up, there used to be a rhyme, and it was told to me a lot. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't know if any of you remember that. I think it's wrong. Words can hurt. They can do damage for a lifetime. Sorry. In fact, the way that language is being used has become so inflammatory that last week the bishops of the Church of England issued a statement urging people to speak to one another with respect. And just today, as you can see from the cover of this morning's Sunday Times, the Archbishop of Canterbury has stepped into the challenge, into the debate to challenge government and condemn what he calls the dangerous use of careless comments, trying to intervene and trying to lower the political temperature, because words matter. The question is, as people of faith, how do we deal with the conflict in our country? How should we live in times of darkness and division? Should we close our eyes and ears and just hope that the negativity will go away? Thinking about the answer, I was reminded of the words of another archbishop. I grew up in a household where we constantly discussed, and debated issues of social justice and faith around our kitchen table. And we had this poster on our dining room wall. It shows the face of Archbishop Desmond Tutu smiling over us as we ate our cornflakes, saying the memorable words, "When people say the Bible and politics don't mix, I ask them which Bible they're reading." And for me, that's the answer. How do we live in times of darkness and division? We go to the Bible. We go to the Word of God for light to live by. We've heard it this morning said in so many beautiful languages. Your Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And what does God's Word tell us? Right from the start, it's pointing forward to the one who's coming to stand in the midst of our conflict and division alongside us. Isaiah tells us his name. He says, "He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And when the Prince of Peace comes, he tells us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And that's us, you and me. The Prince of Peace calls us to be peacemakers. In these deeply divided times, that is who we need to be, builders and bringers of peace. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of the word peace, I often think of calm and quiet and serenity. Not that I know very much about these things, as there's very little peace and quiet in the house that I live in. But being a peacemaker is not about peace and quiet at all. It's almost the opposite. I think we know this when we look at modern day peacemakers like Gandhi and Martin Luther King, Tutu, Mandela, and Malala. To be a peacemaker means speaking out against injustice and violence with love. It means speaking up for those who are voiceless or under threat with love. It takes courage and risk. It means loving our neighbor. It means loving our enemy. We live in an age where words matter. They have the power to change for better or worse. They have the power to destroy, to damage, to rob people of their dignity. As peacemakers, we have the chance to use words for good in the midst of division, to bring life and transformation and hope. Whether that's as simple as sticking up for someone in the playground or being the first person to say sorry in an argument. In fact, in the story we just heard, every one of you was a peacemaker. Against all the odds, you rushed to the water's edge with courage and compassion to show solidarity and friendship for those who didn't actually want to be your friends. You loved your enemies. You used your voices to scare away danger, to work for good. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is both the comforting torch at our feet, guiding our footsteps, and a light leading us through the darkness, guiding us through uncharted waters, taking us from the safety of the known into the unknown. So when the path becomes difficult, or when we're tempted to give up, we'll remain faithful to God's laws, for those laws are light and life. We'll remain faithful to his word, which has the power to break down barriers, build bridges, and bring peace. Lord God, keep us walking in the light of your love this day and always. Amen.